About 5 years ago, a few months before I was ordained a priest, I was finishing up my studies in Rome, and a good young priest friend of mine was there as well, doing doctoral studies. And he says to me in early spring, he says, "Hey, you've just got a couple more months left in Europe. Let's make one final trip. We've got this upcoming spring break. How about we go to Ireland?" I said, "Gosh, that'd be great. I've never been to Ireland. I'd love to go." So we book a flight and make our way there. One night, we're driving along and going from one destination to another. And wouldn't you know it, we should have known it, we're in Ireland, this storm breaks out, thunderclouds come over, we're driving along, we miss our turnoff. We're lost for about 2 hours. And we're both realizing we had left our first location a little late, then we're delayed longer. We're going to get into the next town late at night. We didn't even know if a place would still be open. So when we're finally getting back on the right course, he says, "Hey, you know what, we really should say a prayer." And I said, "Yeah, of course, absolutely." He says, "Well, I'm driving, why don't you lead?" Okay, sure. You know, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, you see our situation. Help us to get safely to the next town, and Lord, we're going to get there late. Please let somewhere be open, just so we have a bed to sleep in tonight. And Lord, we don't have too much money, so if there could be a discount on the room as well, that'd be great. Amen." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My friend looks over at me almost with this look of disgust and goes, "That's the way you pray? Man, that was lame." I said, "Well, how do you pray?" He goes, "In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we know that you hear our every word. You always hear us. When we get to this next town, don't just get us a room. We want the best bed and breakfast in town." That was the start. The best bed and breakfast in town, one right on the beach. When we get up in the morning, we go out the back door, our toes hit the sand. May it be one with an excellent water heater so that we have nice, warm, crispy showers. Take this storm away. May it be a bright, sunshiny day in the morning. When we come down to... This is literally his prayer. When we come down to breakfast, may there be big, fat, fluffy, blueberry pancakes. And when we're heading out, may they give us the room for free since we've given our lives to serve you. Amen. Okay, I think a lot of that was added for effect, but the point was made, right? I did not pray like he prayed, and he prayed in a more fitting way for a God who is all good and loving and generous. Almost every word of his prayer was fulfilled. I could not believe. The next morning, not a single cloud in the sky. We're sitting there at breakfast. The lady who ran the bed and breakfast walks up. She says, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" He says, "Well, you know, I'm a priest, and he's a seminarian. He's going to be ordained." She says, "Oh my gosh, really? You know what? I'm not even going to charge you. I'm just happy to be able to offer you a room." Now, there weren't blueberry pancakes, but there were big, fluffy pancakes with blueberry syrup, and I thought that was good enough. The apostles. The day of the ascension. It says, our Lord appeared to them, they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. And you think they doubted? These guys who spent 3 years with him, seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. Okay, we all understand the passion. Sure, they didn't understand what was going on. They fell away briefly. But then he rises from the dead, and he appears to them numerous more times. Thomas puts his hand in his wounds. Then he's about to ascend to heaven, and they're still doubting. And you think, really? How could that be? But my brothers and sisters, isn't it the same with us? What we know of our Lord by faith, the way he's worked in our lives over and over and over again, and still we doubt him. Who in here can say that when they pray with total confidence that their prayers will not only be heard, but answered? And why don't we? Our Lord one time, speaking to St. Faustina, he said this, "Distrust on the part of souls is tearing at my insides. The distrust of a chosen soul causes me even greater pain. Despite my inexhaustible love for them, they still do not trust me. Even my death is not enough for them. On another occasion, when our Lord comes to St. Faustina, he says these words, and may they one day be true of all of us. Most dear to me is the soul that strongly believes in my goodness and has complete trust in me. I heap my confidence upon it and give it all it asks. Why is there this distrust in us? And it's in every single one of us, and it's something that we have to work to overcome. We go all the way back to the beginning. We've inherited the distrust of Adam and Eve. When the serpent came to Eve and says, did God really say that to you? Why did she sin? Because she first doubted, gosh, is God trustworthy? Can I really believe what he said to me? And we all have a little bit of that in us. And so when we go to prayer, if we notice the slightest bit of distrust, if we're saying our prayers and we are really lacking confidence, we're not quite sure, you know, is he really going to hear this? Is he going to answer this? We got to put all that to the side. When did our Lord work his miracles? When he found faith in people. And the greater their faith, the more extraordinary the miracle. And this is something we find in the lives of the saints. And I could give many, many stories, but just one. St. Therese of Lisieux. St. Therese, who entered the Carmelite religious order, entered a Carmelite monastery at the age of 15. Before she entered, when she was just 13 years old, so a mere girl, she reads in the paper about this man who is on death row. And a man who, as his execution is fast approaching, is totally irrepentant. And not just irrepentant, but adamantly, so he's refusing to see a priest. And so St. Therese thinks, oh my gosh, this man is going to die without God's forgiveness. And so she begins to pray and fast, Lord, grant me the conversion of this man's soul. Rather audacious, no? She doesn't even know this guy. That's not the half of it. She says, grant me the conversion of his soul, and I want you to give me a sign that you've granted that conversion. A week later, she reads in the paper that as that man was climbing the steps onto the scaffold, he sees a priest in the crowd. He rushes over to him, grabs the crucifix that is hanging on his chest, and kisses it 3 times. The sign that she was awaiting. God desires of us total confidence. That when we turn to him, we believe without a doubt that he will grant that which we ask. And you might think, well, gosh, I've done that before, and he didn't grant that prayer. And if he does not grant the prayer that we trust him, that it's because he has a better way of doing things. Either that some great grace is going to come later on, maybe that same prayer will be answered at a different time in a better way. Can you imagine if St. Monica, after a few years praying for her son Augustine, thinks, my goodness, I've prayed for him over and over, and still, you know, he's not coming around, the heck with this. There'd be no St. Augustine. Why didn't God grant that prayer right away? She prayed over and over with all her heart. Maybe the conversion would not have been as profound. Maybe he wanted her to grow in her life of prayer, that she would learn to become totally dependent upon him. God has his ways. May we trust him even when a prayer is not granted precisely as we ask of it. I close with this line from one of my favorite spiritual authors. He says, if you do not desire the impossible, your hearts will become hardened. If you stop desiring the impossible, your hearts will close. Because God is the impossible and can do the impossible. And we ought to ask it of Him on occasion. He is our Father and can grant our every prayer.